How many bullets can you back hold? Sucker from the HK, the red dots in your dome from the light ray. Boom, bam, bust. Oh, damn, kid, your head is a pile of pus. I'm kicking up much dust, the brother you can't trust. This is my hood, my goal, my turf, my stash, my grip, whatever the hell it's worth. I don't need nobody coming in my territory trying to rip a brother off and kill the damn top story.
Take a good look, see I'm nothing but a jacker. About to fill the rap up a greedy-ass cracker. Now let's know, so you know the punk stand out. Coming in my hood with his hand out, trying to get...
Ladies and gents, welcome back to the B-Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Kautzer, and we are in the midst of Welcome to the Asphalt Jungle, where we're looking at two films that are very near and dear to my heart. We already talked about Judgment Night, directed by Stephen Hopkins. Now we're talking about the film that made this double feature possible. This is actually a double feature that's been on the books for some time. It was actually going to be discussed around the beginning of the year, but then it was announced by Shout Factory and their new-ish label, Shout Select, that they were going to be releasing a new edition of this with a new transfer and some new special features. So I had to wait. I had to wait until I could get my dirty fucking paws on this fucking movie. And I will tell you, it was worth the wait. It was worth the 6 months because I have the Shout Select Blu-ray edition of Trespass, directed by Walter Hill, released in 1992 in December, Christmas Day, in fact. And I will tell you that the day after Christmas, you bet your fucking ass, I was in the theater with my dad, seeing this fucking movie, because my dad, just like me, loves Walter Hill, and I love this fucking movie. This movie is one of those those underseen classics that I feel like many people have just either don't know about, or they see the cover and they're just like, huh? I mean, they don't realize that you have, I mean, think about it. The four leads in this film are Bill Paxton, Bill Sadler, Ice Cube, and Ice-T. So let me repeat that again. You have Ice Cube, who is just everything he fucking does is great. You've got Ice-T, who has taken, like, who has a career longer than many of the the great actors of the 70s and 80s. I mean, he's going on 30 plus years and he still is continuing to work and be relevant. Bill fucking Paxton, the legend. I mean, he is a legend. I mean, God, like, you know, God rest his soul, that he just passed recently. We did an entire episode just talking about Bill Paxton. And then you have William fucking Sadler. We talked about this motherfucker back in last October when we did our Demon Knight episode. And I mean, who else in the span of like 3 weeks that he was a diehard villain, and he also played Death in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? Who the fuck does that other than Bill Sadler? The question is nobody. So you've got these four really great, like, you know, character actor / star presence. I mean, these guys, what I love about each one of these guys is that at one point in their careers, at all of them at a certain point in their careers, all were like lower level, like leading men. I mean, think about that. I mean, Bill Paxton, he had his legit shot. I mean, he was in the A-list for quite some time. I mean, he was the fucking lead in Twister. He was continually in like major releases, but he also starred in things. And to be quite honest, his starring roles were just as interesting, if not more interesting, than his supporting roles. Oh, well, maybe not. I don't know. He played some fucking great supporting roles, as we all know. Bill Sadler. I mean, Bill Sadler he's in some of the greatest films of all time. I mean, Shawshank Redemption, many people consider it one of the greatest films of all time. Logan, friend of the show, Logan, my co-host and compatriot in the Shakespeare's Head podcast. It's one of his favorite films, if not his favorite film, and it has a great Bill Sadler role. You have Ice-T and Ice Cube, who respectively have starred in numerous films. I mean, Ice-T has been on Law & Order SVU for, I think it's like 10 or 15 years, and is a prominent role. It's not just like a side character. He is one of the main detectives that does work. And I mean, and this is a dude who used to host, and I hope he still does. I don't know if he does or not. I really should fucking check. He hosts the annual Pimp Ball, Pimps Up, Hoes Down. If you've not seen that HBO documentary, check it out, please. If you're an Ice-T fan, you will thank me up to high heaven when you do. And then you've got Ice Cube, the man, the myth, the legend. Friday, All About the Benjamins, 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, Ghost of Fucking Mars, producer on Straight Out of Fucking Compton. I mean, that's his life story. Fucking from NWA. And that's not even counting, like, we didn't even mention Ice-T's career as a rapper and part of one of the first rap rock groups, Body Count. I mean, that's some shit there. Like, that's some great, like, that's a great, like, you know, four-headed dragon that is the stars of Trespass. And this is really early in their careers. I mean, this is 1992. And all four of them play these, their respective roles to the fucking hilt. Like, you wouldn't, like, watching Ice Cube, you would have thought that the guy had been acting for like 20 years. And in a lot of ways, his persona in NWA and his persona in the, as a rapper was acting, even though some of it wasn't. But you watch him as Savon and you go, this dude's been acting for fucking years. But then again, you go back a year earlier and he's in Boys in the Hood playing Doughboy in just this amazing fucking role, a role in which, if it was released, like, no way does Boys in the Hood gets released by a major studio now. But if it did, you bet your ass that the kid that plays Doughboy would have gotten an Oscar nomination because Ice Cube, like, if Ice Cube played it then, like now, he would have gotten an Oscar nomination. He's that fucking good in that movie. He's the thing that you remember above all else in that movie when it comes back. His speaking for a generation of men is so powerful in that movie. I actually suggest you go back and you dig up the episode that I did my first year at the during the first year of the B Movie Podcast, where me and Logan discussed my experience at the TMC Classic Film Festival, because that movie does come up because it was the 25th anniversary last year. And like, I talked at great length about that movie and my love for that movie. But not only that, but like my love of Ice Cube in that film. It's a fucking powerful movie. I strongly suggest you guys go back and listen to that. But he's been like, him and Ice-T play it like they've been doing this for fucking years. And I'm not talking like a 2 or 3 years, like 10 years. They go heads up with against Bill Sadler and Bill Paxton, and like, it's acting mano a mano. None of them back down. It's pretty fucking fantastic. Walter Hill is, I mean, like, I've talked about briefly on, well, not briefly, but at great length in the Streets of Fire episode that we did, and then A Standing Room Only, where I talked about me watching 48 Hours. Here he is in his element. He is given a film that has like a script by Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis. Yes, those two, the Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale, they wrote this script back in the 70s. And it really does show, because this movie has a moral gray area where that I fucking love, because you can root for whoever you want to, because no one is right in this movie. Everybody has a little dirt on them. I love that aspect about this film. And maybe that's the reason why it wasn't a huge hit, was because, you know, unlike Judgment Night, where it's, you know, it's like a suburban nightmare come to life, Trespass is just as much on the side of King James. I love that name. Like, I love the fact that Ice-T's name is King James. It just put a smile on my face. Every time I watch it, I smile because of LeBron. Those of you that are into the NBA know what I'm talking about. Well, I mean, I think that you guys should know who LeBron James is. It always puts a smile on my face, and it has for the last, 15 years, as long as LeBron has been around. I'm a big fan of LeBron, much to the chagrin of my father, who finds, the NBA finals had just finished up, and I'm not a big Golden State Warriors fan. And me and my dad always had that conversation about, like, he was rooting for Golden State, and I, of course, was rooting for Cleveland, because, you know, I don't like it whenever the deck is stacked against somebody. And I feel like there's so many people out there so quick to judge LeBron and the Cavs in a way that just says that they're a shitty team, which they're so not. And they're the underdogs. They should never be the underdogs, but they are. And I always root for the underdogs. But enough about basketball, because you probably don't want to hear my rantings and ravings about basketball, which talking about is fucking Trespass. But I love that moral gray area that the script and Walter Hill really accentuates. You can literally sit there, watch it two different times, and root for or against whoever you want, because it never, like any Walter Hill, good to great Walter Hill film, there's this moral ambiguity that is at play that's kind of wonderful. It's really present in Extreme Prejudice, a movie that we are definitely going to get to. Another movie that I desperately want Shout Factory to take a strong, hard look at and actually make a special edition of. It would be, oh God, I would love it. That's actually got a double whammy, because I've not really talked about Powers Booth, and that movie is on a Powers Booth tribute that I'm going to be doing a little bit later in the year. But stay tuned for that. But there's that great gray or ambiguity that this film is littered with, because neither one of these groups are in the right. There's no right or wrong. There's just these fucking guys are in a situation where they're facing off against one another. I really love that about this film. And at the time, it would have made more sense at that era if they had framed the movie as William Sadler and Bill Paxton are the quote unquote heroes, which they are so not in this movie. And I love that. I love that Hill goes against convention, and his producers allowed him to go against that convention and didn't ask him to develop the script and change it so that ambiguity wasn't there. And that's what makes this movie so fucking good, is that you could watch this and, you know, you don't have to cheer for anybody, because it's just a badass piece of action cinema, a contained action cinema that has heavy influence, is heavily influenced by The Treasure of Sierra Madre. But it's so much fun to, like, you know, one, like, say one viewing, kind of like take the point of view of Bill Paxton and Bill Sadler, then the other viewing take a look at Ice Cube and Ice-T's crew that and what they're doing and how they're looking upon it, because it makes some very pointed observations about and critiques about white about I don't know if it's white privilege as much as it's about white entitlement and what white what white people think that they are entitled to. It's a very interesting concept, because they do make some very on the nose, very very pointed points, but it's done in that Walter Hill sort of way, so that it just feels a part of the milieu that he's working with. And I really fucking like it. I mean, this last couple of viewings, because when I got it, that fucking night, me and my girlfriend were watching it. Me and Christina were watching it. And it's always interesting to watch Christina and see what she gravitates towards and what she doesn't gravitate towards. Like, what she'll end up just kind of not ignoring, but inactively watching. You know, she'll be, you know, on her computer or doing other things. And then there's the other movies where it brings it, like they bring her to rapt attention. And the interesting thing was I wasn't sure how this one was going to play, but this one definitely played to its benefit. And she definitely was interested and watched the entire thing, with me. So that always makes me happy when there's a movie that I'm watching and it catches her attention. Like, it tells me that the movie is definitely working, and this movie fucking works. I mean, this thing is a lean 90 minutes, and it never feels like it's not anything but telling the story with force and style. As I said, there is the, there is that weird concept of no real protagonist or antagonist, just the way that you view it, which I think that some people might be off-putted. It might be off-putting for some people, but you know what? Sorry, it's just the way that the movie works, and I find it a brilliant stroke of genius that the script and Walter Hill took that particular point of view. The film is relatively contained because it just, once it sets up, and very much like Judgment Night, it sets up its premise and its plot very quickly. And once it gets to the thrust of the story, it moves, it barrels through it. I really like that about the film, is that it never sits for too long, and it's always making its characters smarter than you would think that it would give its characters credit for. So they're always kind of trying to, like, once they get into the point where the Bill Paxton and William Sadler character are trapped in a room, and the Ice Cube and Ice-T characters are trying to get into that room, the actors, or the script basically sets it up so that each one of them are doing things smartly, and they're trying to figure a way out of the situation. And I really like that they don't short shift the either characters, and they're each trying to do things smartly. And I mean, you know, I love, like, this whole crew that they have, that Ice-T has as his enterprise of young men making money, because he makes it, like, there's a really great scene where Bill Paxton sees them do do the deed that causes everything to go to shit. And they confront him, and he's scared as shit. Like, the one thing that I do love about the, like, one of the many things I love about the Bill Paxton performance is that it's not that he's a coward. It's that he is way in over his head, and there is a lot of fear that's going on for him. And when they start pushing him around, he says gang. And what I love is that Ice Cube's character Savon takes it so personally. He's like, gang, do we look like a fucking gang? And then Ice Cube says, or Ice T says, he's like, these are my associates. I just love that part about it, that he doesn't allow himself to be categorized as like a gangbanger. Like, I mean, you know, the thing that's really awesome is that none of them are like in traditional, like what early 90s like classified gangbangers as having, like, dressed. Like, King James is dressed to the fucking nines. Like, Ice Cube in this film has like this long trench coat, a fucking three-piece suit. Ice Cube's character Savon, he's like decked out all in black, but he's got a leather duster that has a hood on it. He's got his fucking, he's like definitely dressed to the nines. And then, like, their other compatriots all have, like, are all dressed just like King James. They're all in suits and such. What's interesting is that the guys that play, like, there you have Glenn Plummer is in this film. Of course, Tiny Lister, or Tommy Lister, also known as Zeus to many people, or Debo from Friday. You've got Tico Wells. I mean, you've got a bunch of great, like, actors that fill out. T.E. Russell, who plays Video, which that's a really interesting aspect about this film, is that this film is like the first film that I really remember that they used. It's like almost like there's found footage sections of this movie, because they're actually using video footage. Like, Video is almost like this documentarian. He's like he's like interviewing the guys as this incident occurs. And it's kind of amazing and classic, and classically funny to watch this kind of character that's embedded into this film. Like, I almost wonder if somebody watches this movie and go, you know what, they could make a found footage version of this. And it would probably be pretty interesting. I wonder if you could do it. But it's all to say, like, there's that nice touch of, like Walter Hill has it so that you, like, he shot it on video from what the special features say. He actually shot it on video. There's no coverage. There's no safety here. He actually did it, and he committed to it. And it's great, because it kind of leads this sense of urgency. And each one of these guys that are a part of King James's, like, you know, like, crew, his associates, they're all highly, highly capable men. And that's what makes this film so great, is that it's like, the Don and Vince character, played by Bill Paxton and, Bill Paxton and William Sadler, they are firemen. And when they're trying to find this gold that they're told about, that's in this abandoned factory in St. Louis, I mean, they're capable too, because, I mean, they're firemen. They have certain training. They don't have guns and weapons training, but they definitely know, like, they definitely have skill sets that help them out. And I just really like that. That's something that you rarely see in films, is that both the protagonists and antagonists, or, you know, just the two teams of, like, this is not even protagonist antagonist in these movies. It's just these guys. And what I love is that these guys go heads up against one another, and they're extremely capable, extremely capable. There's so much more to this film, but I don't really want to ruin it, because I really want you guys to see this. I hope that you guys pick up this Blu-ray, because it's the best I've ever seen it look. It has It has probably about 2 hours of special features on it. There's not a commentary because Walter Hill doesn't do commentaries, which is sad for us. But in place of that commentary, there's some really great interviews. They actually got Bob Gale to actually do an interview and William Sadler to do an interview. There's a bunch of great shit on this disc. I highly recommend it when it's released on the 27th. You can always reach out to me on Twitter and Instagram. BMoviePod is the handle. The letter B, the word movie, and the word pod all together. No lines, no dashes, no bullshit. We are also on filmdispenser.com. That's where our home is. You can read my work and my colleagues' work, such as Scott, Marie, Logan. All of us are writing on there. You have our written component, the B movie aisle, aisle with an I and not an A, because as we all know, we are islands or aisles unto ourselves with some of these choices. And I think especially with this one, we'll be back next week. We actually have a guest for next week. We are actually looking at two female-led crime movies in Thievery Corporation. That's what we're calling it. We're going to have a special guest on, and we will talk more about her on the actual episodes themselves. So until next time, talk to you soon.
How many bullets can you back hold, sucker, from the HK? The red dots in your dome from the light ray. Boom, bam, bust. Oh, damn, kid, your head is a pile of pus. I'm kicking up much dust, the brother you can't trust. This is my hood, my goal, my turf, my stash, my grip, whatever the hell it's worth. I don't need nobody coming in my territory trying to rip a brother off and kill the damn side story.
Take a good look, see, I'm nothing but a jacker. About to fill the wrath of a greedy-ass cracker. Now let's know, so you know the punk stand out. Coming in my hood with his hand out, trying to get over on the black with the Goldie Mac. I put a damn slug in his back, and with the boom ping ping, it ain't no thing to blast on greedy little suckers that trespass. Ali Ali, I come free, here comes the G. I'm sagging and into the dragon like Bruce Lee. I got to get more money, can't get sex with no money. See, I'm kinda greedy, cause all my heroes got zeros in back of a one. Here's my gun, about to get paid at last. But now I'm getting covered in dirt and grass. Kick the matter I get, the higher the debt, the deeper you get, the thicker the sweat. Cause I'm the brother with fat clout. But you're in, but you gotta get back out. No easy job for some suckers, it's after all. Crosshair in your dome and your mind's blown. You wanna go home. Ain't that a bitch? Q dig this bitch. Don't trust bad. I got a full-time job of taking suckers out, breaking them off. Yeah, work. I love revoking clock. Test me, stress me. Who could the best be?
Who?
The Teflon 9 go through best, G.
Yep.
But when you're greedy, you don't care about life itself. You're chasing extreme wealth. You can't be trusted cause trust ain't in the damn game. Scandalous is your middle name.
I'm the black brother you're stuck with. Ice Cube, aka the wrong brother to boot with. I'm rich, catching a bitch about getting money.